Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, November 26th. Governor Jared Polis was in Montrose last Saturday, November 23rd. Besides taking in a high school football game and announcing his rural economic blueprint, which we talked about in yesterday's regional newscast, the governor attended a job fair at the Montrose County Event Center. The hiring and resource fair was put on by the state of Colorado and featured nearly 30 vendors talking about jobs and how to get them. Western Slope residents could walk along the row of vendors and talk to various experts about how to get jobs and which jobs to apply for. Vendors included state agencies like the Colorado Department of Transportation, the Department of Revenue, the Department of Local Affairs, and the Department of Natural Resources. The city and county of Montrose both had a big presence, and several schools were represented, including Colorado Mesa University and Western Colorado Community College. Governor Polis arrived and walked through the vendors' row, talking to prospective employers and employees. He spoke with KVNF News briefly to talk about why the governor came to Montrose for the job fair.
Well, we are hiring in the state of Colorado. Obviously, we have a lot of important positions, whether it's Department of Public Corrections or Safety or Local Affairs. We have so many great career opportunities. Another thing we're trying to do, for instance, Office of Economic Development just did it, is we're pushing the jobs out of Denver. So she just hired three people across the state for economic development. And when people are able to work from different areas of the state, we want people to be able to support the local communities. So we're trying to increase those kinds of opportunities. Obviously, some jobs also require that you work, you know, out of jail or you work in another community.
And please stay tuned to the KVNF regional newscast tomorrow when we'll have our final segment of our interview with Governor Jared Polis. The state of Colorado is working on revising its oil and gas regulations. Here's Jody Peterson with an update for KVNF News.
Late last week, state oil and gas regulators adopted new safety rules for oil and gas flow lines. The rules require that the locations of these underground oil and gas pipelines be published online for the first time ever. The Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, which created the rules, says that the data will help residents learn more about oil and gas operations near their homes. The rules should also help prevent future accidents like the one that happened in Firestone in 2017. In that incident, a leaky abandoned flow line near a Front Range home caused an explosion that killed two people and injured several others. The flow line mapping may take up to a year to complete. More than 17,000 miles of underground flow lines cross the state, some installed many years ago. They carry oil, gas, or water produced by drilling to storage tanks or processing equipment. The new rules, which take effect in early 2020, also include higher standards for handling abandoned flow lines and reactivating old lines. Now, most lines must be removed from the ground once they're no longer in use. The flow line rules are the first set of oil and gas regulations to be completely revised since Senate Bill 181 was signed into law in April. That law changed the mission of the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission from fostering the industry to regulating it to protect human health and the environment. For KVNF, this is Jody Peterson.
A new high-tech monitoring program is set to take shape in the headwaters of the Colorado and Gunnison Rivers. Luke Runyon has more.
It's called the Next Generation Water Observing System, and the idea is to use the latest technology to get an up-close and personal look at how water moves through the river's headwaters. The program will use a network of sensors, cameras, even drones, to give scientists the clearest picture of how the river gets its start high up in the Rocky Mountains. Chad Wagner oversees the program for the U.S. Geological Survey.
The entire Colorado River Basin supplies water for more than about 40 million people, and there's nearly 5.5 million acres of farmland in the western U.S.
The Colorado and Gunnison Rivers are the second location in the country to be selected for the new program. Wagner says full build-out could take place next year, pending congressional funding. I'm Luke Runyon.
In the wake of recent reports of fatal lung illness in Colorado connected with the use of e-cigarettes, new research seems to confirm concerns about the health impacts of vaping. Eric Galatis has the story.
A study by Boston University researchers found that e-cigarettes altered cholesterol levels, and Dr. Florian Rotter with the Smit Heart Institute at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles says his group's research suggests that vaping may be more harmful to heart health than traditional cigarettes.
And now our study adds to the evidence that e-cigarette smoking may not be quite as healthy as it's being portrayed. And I think this is reason enough for now to be at least cautious.
Rotter compared the blood flow of 10 non-smokers, 10 tobacco cigarette smokers, and 10 e-cigarette users. Testing blood flows at rest and while squeezing a hand grip, only e-cigarette users showed signs of coronary vascular dysfunction even when they were not exerting themselves physically. Industry groups have previously argued that vaping is a healthy alternative to traditional cigarettes, especially for people trying to kick their smoking habit. Commercials for e-cigarettes do warn about the health risks of nicotine, but Joanna Struther with the American Lung Association in Colorado says there's no evidence that electronic cigarettes are an effective cessation device.
You're talking about a product that isn't well regulated, and so we just can't say for sure if this is a safer alternative. What we know right now is actually very troublesome.
A recent study by the Food and Drug Administration found that a quarter of all high school students used e-cigarettes in 2019, up 5 percentage points from last year. Rotter notes his group's initial research and limited trial size could benefit from further studies and testing health impacts over time to determine the true impacts of vaping on public health. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And finally today, here on the newscast, the town of Paonia will hold its regular meeting of trustees tonight at Paonia Town Hall, and several items are set to be voted on after much discussion. Trustees will hold a public hearing about the 2020 budget, which must be voted on tonight so it can be submitted to the state for approval in the proper time frame. Included in that budget is an across-the-board rate increase for all of the town's utilities, including water, sewer, and trash collection. Tonight's agenda represents the 10th time this year that trustees have considered the rate increases in a public meeting. Also slated on tonight's agenda, for discussion only, is a trustee discussion about medicinal and recreational sales of marijuana in Paonia. The regular meeting of the Board of Trustees is tonight at Paonia Town Hall at 6:30 p.m. And that was your KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, November 26th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.